FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and the date is January 27th, 2016. So this Obamacare open enrollment ending in several days. Oh, by the way, this show is brought to you by Liberty HealthShare, the place to go if you're fed up with your current health insurance and scared to death of Obamacare. And so open enrollment ends in a few days. It's lagging projections, just leading to the fact that it's Obamacare has been a failure. There's no hiding it. And the person who's been talking about this all along, Dr. Elena George, your recent book, Big Medicine, really spells out the fraud behind what we call healthcare today. And book is a real eye-opener on who the real interested parties in the healthcare debate have been and who they should be, which is you. And Dr. George, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back on.
Hey, so your book, Big Medicine, The Cost of Corporate Control and How Doctors and Patients Working Together Can Rebuild a Better System. That's kind of a mouthful. Just call it Big Medicine. really is an eye-opener, was to me. I mean, I'm aware of a lot of the issues, but the big corporations, whether they're hospitals or drug companies, are really driving the whole debate.
They are. And you can add in the medical insurance industry as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, they've actually taken control of the healthcare system using the power of the government with the Affordable Care Act to try to complete the task. Now, we've gone from having over 55% of our doctors being in private practice almost 80% down to 55%. Mm-hmm. And it's projected that it's going to drop to about 20% within the next 10 to 15 years. And this pressure is coming from the insurance industry and all of the mandates from the government. And what it's really doing, it's making doctors into agents of the government, and they're working for the insurance companies and the hospitals, and they no longer are advocates for the patient because they have so much pressure. Get along and just get it done and data gather. I'm not sure if you saw this new article that came out about how doctors are being pressured now to take, mm-hmm. no matter where you are, take a history that includes if the person is depressed. And if they answer yes to that, or they are suspicious of depression, they're supposed to, you know, alert the government so they can have their guns turned in. I mean, I actually said this a long time ago, that I thought that was a direction this was going to go in. And now it's naked in what they're trying to do.
Yeah, well, the whole executive orders that Obama did, he's taking your private medical information from the HHS, Department of Health mm-hmm. and Human Services, Medicaid, Medicare, and culling it for that type of information, and then you get a knock on the door, give us your guns. And exactly. Hey, who in this world has not been depressed at some point or another, Dr. George? I mean, there's a difference between depression and clinical depression, and the number of people who've been clinically depressed in the United States at some point in their lives is huge.
Exactly. And they're not homicidal or suicidal. That should also be, you know, really spelled out. But this is the problem with electronic medical record and population-based medicine. There is no individuality. You end up in a database and everybody is supposed to act the same way. They're supposed to react to the same medications the same way. They're supposed to have the same outcome in a disease process. And if you fall outside the norm, something's wrong with you, or your doctor's bad, or your hospital won't be paid. It's a ridiculous system. And now that they've added in this doc fix part of it, where it's now about value-based medicine, it's going to get worse. And I predicted before, I think on your show, as a matter of fact, there's going to be a huge push towards keeping people out of the hospital, towards putting them into a palliative care track, to not using any heroic measures or anything that's deemed to be expensive, because it's not going to give you good numbers at the end of the day, and you won't be paid as a hospital, or you won't get your bonus if you're part of the accountable care organizations. It's a joke. And people need to know that so that they can do things that protect themselves. Liberty HealthShare is a great example, or any other medical cost-sharing company. But you really need to opt away to the alternative system. That's where the value is. I mean, it's been a while, but I listened to Gerald Celente, I know you know who he is, about maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And he said that the thing that was going to drive people in this new economy was value. If you offer value, if you have ability to control your own pocketbook and your destiny, you're going to survive this kind of system. And I think it starts with your health. And if you make a decision now that you can choose something that if you're healthy or if you're somewhat ill, make a change in your lifestyle so you don't have to be victimized by the system.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. The fact is that there is no emphasis on prevention in what we do. And the other thing that I read this statistic quite a while ago, and I'm sure it hasn't gotten any better, but basically that 80% of Medicare spending takes place in the last year of the person's life. Mm-hmm. Okay, so no, you don't want palliative care where you're just going to basically send those people off to die. But on the other hand, the model that was used to get to this point, there's something wrong with that too, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely, because it's a slippery slope. Again, if you go back to the architects of the Affordable Care Act, Rahm Emanuel's brother, Ezekiel Emanuel, who's what do you call these guys?
He was one of the czars. He was
one of the czars, but it's one of those people who decide what constitutes ethics in medicine.
Yeah.
I'm just sort of blank on their specialty. But his theory is in the complete live system that if you're about 18 to 45, that's who the healthcare dollars should be spent on. But what about the 46 and 50-year-olds who actually in the prime of their life, they're ending up on this end of that slippery slope, right? So they're considered to be not many more viable years left. And it's just getting younger and younger. It's not like you're 90 in this system. You're 50. You're 46. That's a problem. And I do predict this. Once this comes online and people get numb to it, and they do this to the seniors, they're coming for the children next. So when you're born with medical conditions, medical problems, you won't be able to overcome them. You're not going to be able to be viable members of society. And they're going to do the same thing to the kids they're doing to the senior citizens. It's unethical, it's against the Hippocratic Oath, and it's not should never only be about money. And especially when the bottom line is not about the patient, it's about the corporate bottom line. And it's very mercenary.
Yeah, it's mercenary. And like you said, it's not about the patient. The system is supposed to revolve around the patient. But, you know, it's a great analogy for this. It's the same exact thing that has happened to the schools. The schools are supposed to educate the children. And what do? They become this feeding frenzy, indoctrination centers, and the dollars wind up not going to the children, right? I mean, they wind up going to all these bureaucrats. And I think the same thing has occurred in our so-called healthcare delivery system.
Well, it's a cookie cutter mentality. I mean, you just go through every system in our society and do the same thing. Now, you made an excellent analogy, but there's an executive, I think from Pearson Books, who talks about core curriculum and how they make so much money. Every time something has to change in a textbook, they get to sell more books and they can't stand children. I mean, that's a quote from her. She hates kids. It's not about educating them. It's about changing. It's about social engineering. It's about mind control, if you really want to put it that way. And it's about taking away the history of our country so that you can control people and divide and conquer in a naked manner that everybody's a victim. Everybody should hate everybody. Somebody took something from somebody else. And if you have a question or a point of view, there's something wrong with you. But it's up to us as good people to stop falling into the trap of, I can't say anything because I'm going to get yelled at or be called a name. Who cares if they call you a name? This is how the people like this win, by shutting people up and making them cower when they know they know they're right. They're not racist. They're not sexist. They just want to take care of themselves and their family. And they want our country to survive. There is nothing wrong with that. I think people need to stand up for themselves at this point.
Absolutely. I mean, couldn't have said it better myself. And that's why things that empower you as a patient and your doctor, too, because don't forget, the patient-doctor relationship is afforded very special status in our society, or it was.
And, it was, yeah.
And now you've got the government trying to dictate the terms of that relationship. And because It's the golden rule. The government says, well, we're paying for it, so we got the right to do anything that we want about it. So maybe your best bet is to become a self-paying patient or either Liberty Health Share or some other cost-sharing mechanism, which incidentally is exempt from Obamacare, right?
That's correct. That's absolutely right. This is the one time I think that people can do things, you know, work within the system and in a manner that actually helps you, that actually works in your interest. I can't say many things about government programs that do that. But in this instance, the way the law is crafted, there is a carve-out for medical cost-sharing, which started off as a very small entity. Liberty HealthShare, to me, was one of the maverick companies that saw the power of the patient and went beyond just a congregation. So you don't have to belong to any particular church. You just have to have the mindset of, I want to protect my health. I don't mind sharing my costs with fellow members. And there's certain things that aren't covered. But you know what? You get such benefit of what is covered that you can pay for other things on your own. And it's appropriate. Not every healthcare dollar should be paid by somebody else. You have to take responsibility for your health. And I think when people have skin in the game, costs are lower. They make better healthcare choices. But unlike with the insurance industry, you're not in a system that's arbitrarily, you know, they make these fees up in the insurance-based system. You're dealing with real cost of healthcare with Liberty HealthShare because it's all about self-pay. And I said it before in your show, I want to repeat this. It's cheaper to access healthcare in our country if you don't use your insurance than if you go and just pay out of pocket. And that's what Liberty HealthShare does. It magnifies that power because you're banding together people all across the country who are self-pay patients. And the power of the purse, instead of it being with the insurance company or the pharmaceutical company, it's with you and your doctor.
And I have
the difference.
I have a great example of that. We're so conditioned to get prescriptions, have the insurance company pay for it, either at the pharmacy counter or through mail order. And there's certain drugs that you can get. Perfect example. So you go through the mail order pharmacy of a certain health insurance company that will go unknown, but benefits manager. And for a drug like Lipitor or Metformin, they charge you, you have a $20 deductible. So you got to pay that $20. Mm-hmm. And effectively, the drug is less than $20, but that mail order pharmacy charges you the $20. Now, here in Florida, you can get a 30-day supply of Metformin free. All right, but most at the Publix pharmacy. But even if you have to pay for it, you can go to Walmart and you get the $4 or the $8 prescription. So it's actually cheaper to buy the stuff yourself than it is to go through your mail order pharmacy, which basically is a scam. They're scamming you at that point. And there's dozens of drugs that Publix pharmacy gives away for free. And then there's a discount card called goodrx.com. So if you can't find a good deal on a prescription, you go there and they have probably the lowest prices around. I've told it to dozens of people. And so this is a case where exactly what you're saying is true. You paying it yourself, self-pay patient, can get a much better deal than your insurance company is giving you on these drugs.
You said a mouthful, and I just gave one of the GoodRx cards to a patient yesterday. So it does. He's telling me the absolute truth. And as someone on the front line, I can speak to it. It makes no, you know, if you really think about this, it's bizarre that you have to pay more when you have an insurance card than if you don't. People should question this. Why is it a different rate for you to go to a Publix for free versus using your insurance card in the same Publix that would cost you $20 or whatever your deductible or your coinsurance is? Something's not right. Something doesn't smell right.
Yeah.
And I can tell you the same thing happens in surgery. If I deal with tonsillectomy, for example, and I take a patient to an outpatient surgery center, not connected to a hospital, it's about a third of what it costs, and maybe $2,500 for the entire thing, including surgeon fee. It's about $9,000 in the hospital. For the same equipment, I'm spending the same time. Nothing changes, but the costs are crazy because they make it up. And if you ask some hospital, how, before you do the procedure, how much it's going to cost. They can never tell you what it's going to be if you have insurance. But if you sent your friend in and said, hey, I'm paying cash, tell me how much it's going to be, they can tell you the price. There's something wrong with the system.
Interesting. That's like, they're like drug dealers. I mean, it's ridiculous here. You think about that. Yeah, I mean, and your health is being held for ransom is what it comes down to. And what people don't realize, what you don't realize is the insurance companies have a vested interest in seeing that prices skyrocket and are out of control, because their margins based on how much they spend, not how much they save. So they really don't have an interest in controlling healthcare costs.
No, I mean, it's actually a peculiar relationship. If you have a car insurance, you know, if you ever get in an accident, you don't want to pay it because you don't want your premium to go up. Mm-hmm. This is your health we're talking about now. Your premium won't go up, but what happens is your deductible is so high, your out-of-pocket is so high, you don't go to the doctor. They make their money by the premiums they charge, and you're right. The less they pay out, the more they keep in their pocket. The longer it takes them to pay the doctor, which can take up to a year, they're mm-hmm. making interest in the bank. This is a complete cartel, honestly.
Yeah.
Doesn't have any rule of antitrust. They now have bought out the competition, so there are now only 5 insurance companies. Since the Affordable Care Act passed, they went from dozens of insurance companies to 5. Mm. And as the competition decreases, the cost goes up because they believe you have nowhere to go. And the government has empowered them because of the mandates, quote unquote. Your way out of it is to pick something like medical cost sharing, where you're within the letter of the law, but you're not held to the same standard, or I should say cost, price structure, as the insurance industry. And what's really interesting, there's now insurance commissioners that are coming out and complaining about medical cost sharing, and they don't have any power over them because it's not insurance.
Yeah.
But they're trying to demonize it because it is becoming popular. And they're saying, oh, we don't know if these companies are viable. We need to take, you know, to step in and start to regulate these. But they can't. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty. The government cannot mess with this.
Yeah.
So it's going to work with the free market system. It's going to become better as more members join. It becomes mm-hmm. more pliable, more flexible. Liberty HealthShare, as we spoke about before, covers alternative treatment, holistic care, chiropractic, Chinese herbal. They're very much forethinking, and they may at some point also cover you going out for medical tourism out of the country, where the costs are still low, and you can get awesome treatment. So that's the difference between something like that, member-driven, and something like typical insurance companies, where all they do is deny. And I can tell you again, as an ear, nose, and throat doctor, I'm being held, and my patients are being held hostage to an insurance company that won't cover balloon sinus dilation, which is
amazing.
It's one of the
procedure.
State-of-the-art treatments.
Oh,
they're calling it experimental. And
that's
it's ridiculous.
That's pure outright lie. I mean, it's been around for several years now. I know a doctor down here in Florida that's doing it. And as a chronic sinus sufferer for many, many years, you know, all your prior alternative was just to go get surgery, a lot more expensive, and a lot of side effects from it. And this procedure that Dr. George, you just mentioned, is a lifesaver. There's nothing worse than not being able to breathe through your nose.
Absolutely. And the cost is completely different. The cost scale is completely different. Because it's an office-based procedure, it can actually be your copay. So I have people who come in at $20, $30. If I took them to the hospital, they'd have to engage their $6,000 deductible, their $10,000 deductible. It makes you wonder what power the hospital has in the insurance company making this negative decision against the patient.
Because
the hospital is being cut out. And that's what's going on. There's a lot of jockeying for as much business as can be had. Hospitals are backbiting each other. They're now becoming specialty centers, so they don't have to compete with each other. They have their own insurance companies within the hospital, so that the patient has to stay in the system. Mm-hmm. Choice is gone. It's all about capturing you and keeping you.
That's what it's about, capturing and keeping you, and you can do something about it. Dr. George, I've saved, I can't even tell you how many thousands of dollars since I signed up at Liberty HealthShare, and they're a proud partner of this show. Thanks in large measure to you telling me about them and encouraging me to get outside of the health insurance, and I put that in quotes, insurance paradigm, and it requires a paradigm shift. But the benefits, the potential benefits are so great that you really have to take a look at it. Dr. George, it's always great to speak to you. You really are a crusader and a revolutionary in healthcare. Good luck with the book. Just tell us where we find the book and where we find you.
You can find the book on my website, drelainageorge.com, E-R-E-L-A-I-N-A, George like the man's name. You can also buy it on Kindle or on Amazon. And I also have a blog, so you can also follow that. And my radio show, Medicine on Call, is on America's Web Radio and also Liberty Talk FM on the weekends.
All right. Well, hey, it's always great to have you on. Good luck with the book. And you will find links to Dr. George's site on the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. We'll talk with you again real soon, Dr. George. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.